Today we're going to look at the everyday Christian, and we're in part four of this five-part series. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. And there are five things that a Christian should do every single day. Five things every Christian should do every single day. Number one, pray. That's number one. Number two, study God's word. Number three, let your light shine. Number four, which is what we're going to cover today, make healthy choices. And number five, fight the battle against sin. And there are several others. There are several others that we could come up with, but these are five that I believe are reasonable in terms of being able to stake a claim from Scripture as to what it is we need to be doing. And I believe also that they're relevant. These are things that we should be doing not only every day, but in these modern times in which we're living in. These are the things that we should be engaged in and we should be doing every day of our life. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have ever been to Ladue or West County or some of these really nice neighborhoods? Okay. How many of you have been to other neighborhoods? I don't want to give them a name, but the houses are not so nice. I'm the only one who's been to a bad neighborhood. Okay. It's all run down, you know, the streets are filled with trash and this, that, and the other. And sometimes when you go out and you see these really nice neighborhoods, you say things like, oh man, I wish I could live in a house like that, right? Boy, I tell you, if I hit the lottery, that's the kind of house I'm going to buy for Pastor. I know. So think about it. It's very easy to conclude which house we would rather live in, right? Well, did you know that that question not only applies to you and I when we're seeking a residence, but we could apply that situation to God as well, because your body is God's house. Your body is God's house. And you know what? I believe that when it comes to the body, God thinks like we do. We would rather live in Ladue than Wellston. Amen. And those of you who say, no, I'd rather live in Wellston, that's your business. But I'm going to personally testify. I'd rather live in Ladue than Wellston. I have no problem saying that. I have no guilt of living in Ladue if you want to live in Wellston. God's the same way. Where do you think God would rather live? Would you rather give him a temple where he can really live, or would you rather give him a rundown temple? A temple where he'd be proud to live in and you'd be proud to have him live in that temple. Amen. A healthy temple, a temple which is your body, because the body as a temple serves a couple of purposes. Number one, it is a place of worship and sacrifice. We worship with our bodies. We sacrifice with our substance. And it is also the place where God dwells with his people. So your body and my body serves two purposes. We worship with our bodies. Nothing wrong with that. We worship with the spirit, but the spirit lives in the body. And it is expressed empirically or outwardly through the members of our body. And it is also the place where God dwells with us. That's why we don't need to build a temple. We don't need to rebuild a temple, because we are the temple. We're the living temple of God. The question is, what kind of temple are we going to be? What kind of temple would God have us to be? Look at verse 19 in the New King James Version of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. It says these words, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own?" Think about that for a minute. The Spirit of God lives inside of every believer. If he doesn't, you're not a Christian. It's pure and simple as that. It's pure and simple as that. The Spirit of God lives in the body of every single individual, not as an organ or as a system like the circulatory system or the respiratory system or the central nervous system, not some vital organ such as the bladder or the pancreas or the stomach or any anatomical thing, but in terms of presence. His presence is in you, and he works out his presence and his work through your body. That's how he does it. And so you don't have to say, well, where is he? I can't feel him. He's not someone that you feel. He's someone who is there, who you experience by yielding your life to him. That's what happens. There's a lot of people running around saying, what do I have to do to be filled with the Holy Ghost? Number one, you just have to yield your life to the Lord. I always like to use this phrase, yield and you will be filled. Yield and you will be filled. It's not about jumping around and doing that. Anybody could do that. It's about yielding your members, your passions, your ambitions, and all the stuff that you got going on that has nothing to do with God's agenda for your life. It is about yielding those things, nailing them to the cross, placing them on the altar, whatever metaphor you want to use, but saying, Lord, I'm done with me. You take over. I'm under new ownership. That's when you'll be filled. That's when you'll be filled. Well, how do I know that the Spirit of God who lives in me is filling me? How do I know? What are the outward signs that I can stake my claim on to know that God is filling me with His Spirit? Well, let me give you a few. Number one, you love the Word of God. When you are Spirit-filled, reading the Word of God is not a struggle, it's a joy. You love worship. That's another sign of someone who's Spirit-filled. And not worship for worship's sake. I'm talking about worshiping Him by yourself. You can enjoy the Lord in the privacy of your own space. Number three, sacrificial giving is a sign of a Spirit-filled Christian. You don't have to beg them for money because they believe that all their resources come from God and they freely, lovingly, willingly offer it back to the Lord. That's a sign of a Spirit-filled Christian. Another one is this. You love your enemies. That's a sign of a Spirit-filled Christian. You don't have any enemies because you love them just like Jesus told you to. Another sign, I mean, you said, Pastor, there's too many signs. No, there's more. When you go through battles, you go through with your head held up high. You man up. You do what you have to do. And you say, you know what? My faith looks up to thee. My God of Calvary, I know you're there. You don't just cry, oh, poor me. It's not poor you. You have not hung on anybody's cross. Really? Come on, seriously. Oh, my bills are due. So what? Who does not have bills in here? That is not a storm. Bills that you can't pay, it's not a storm. That's just broke. But that does not qualify as a storm. Ooh, I got some arthritis. That is not a storm. You're getting old. But that's not a storm. Those aren't storms, my friend. Those aren't real storms. Well, Pastor, it just seems like you love hard times. I don't love hard times, but I know a difference between a hard time and a fake hard time. And many times we're crying out and complaining about stuff that don't really mean nothing. But a Spirit-filled person knows the difference between a real storm and a fake one. And it doesn't matter to them because they can endure either or. They can handle temptation. They can do those things. Why? Because they're filled with the Spirit of the Lord. You say, Pastor, you didn't mention some other things that are very popular and known for speaking being filled with the Spirit, such as speaking in tongues. And certainly that is one of the signs of being filled with the Spirit. Let me be the first to say that. Yes, that is a sign of being filled with the Spirit. But one of the things I look for after a person does that is what? Their lifestyle. That's what I look for. So if you're speaking in tongues and then we close or we have benediction and worship and I find you outside cussing somebody out, then I have to ask the question, what is the credibility of what you just did? And by the way, that was a true experience that I had. What happened in that room where you did what you did? And you begin to fight and I have to break up the fist fight between you and another member. What did you do? But embarrass God. Well, in these bodies, we're called to glorify God. Look at verse 20. It says, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God. How? In your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And I want to deal with what I consider to be a very toxic way of thinking for Christians. And that is this. Isn't God going to destroy the body? Is he? Jesus did not come to redeem the body. He came to redeem the soul. We all know that. We know that God doesn't want nothing to do with his body. So some of us think, well, why should I care about the condition of my body since he's going to destroy it? Because he made it. That's why. And because it doesn't belong to you anymore. It belongs to God, so you don't get to treat it any way you want. You don't own it anymore. It's not yours anymore. So that thinking doesn't even have any relevance when it comes to understanding how we're to live out our Christian experience in lieu of what God teaches us out of His Word. You don't get to say, well, it doesn't matter. This body's going to the graves and I'm just going to feed the worms and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. God says that we're to glorify Him in these bodies. But if we neglect the body, then we also undermine the ability of our own lives to bring Him glory. We just learned of a pastor who died of a heart attack just recently at the age of 51 or so. I believe that he should have lived another 20 or 30 years. I believe he could have. There are too many Christians going to heaven too soon. And they're going, I mean, they're you know, I know we all want to go to heaven, but there's no rush. There's no rush. There's no rush for you and I to go to heaven. It'll be there. It ain't going nowhere. It's not like the old ship of Zion and it's going to leave and you got to catch it. It's going to be there when you get there. Trust me. Oh, they got to save a seat for me. There's no seat to save for you. You're going. What are you talking about? Seat saved for you. As if, oh boy, it's musical chairs. And in heaven, and boy, if I don't sit down quick enough, I won't have a seat in heaven. The things we used to believe. Oh boy, I just save a seat for me. Don't save me a seat. I got a seat. I don't need you to save me nothing. Save a seat for me. That was a very popular gospel song. Don't save me nothing. I got a seat. Trust me. But if you want to go before I do, well, that's your business. Seriously, and I mean that, I'm not joking. But I believe the longer that I have to stay down here, the longer I can glorify God. So it's not about trying to acquire stuff and be something that I don't want to be or all this other foolishness. The idea is this: I want to be here as long as God wants me to be here. And I don't want to do anything to undermine or circumvent God's ability to keep me here. And as long as I'm here, there's one goal, and that goal is to glorify God. That's the goal. That's the purpose. But if the body is broken, not because of genetic, hereditary disability issues, those are over here. That's not a part of this sermon. Okay, so I'm not talking to you. Or if you have a genetic precondition or predisposition is the word I'm looking for, such as mine, which is arthritis and diabetes. I don't have diabetes, but I got the arthritis. And there's nothing I can do about that. It's just a part of the DNA pool. I can't do nothing about that. It is the way it is. You have to work with that. But I'm talking about doing other stuff. Amen? That we don't have no business doing with these bodies. Two reasons: God made them. And then number two, they belong to Him and not us. So you don't even have the right to treat it any way you want because it's not your property. Amen. I remember just bringing back my son Joshua. He had a little accident in the ruined the bumper of the car. And so we went and got an estimate. It was $1,000. And he came up with $1,000. And he said, "Dad, I'm ready to pay for what I did wrong." Joshua's a very integrity based person. If he makes a mistake, he's got to fix it himself. And so he's all into that thing. And so he says, "Well, I've got the $1,000. Here it is." And I said, "Oh, no, I'm not going to let you put a dime in that car." He goes, "Why?" I says, "I'm waiting for you to wreck it." Because if you put $1,000 into it and you have another accident and it gets wrecked, you're going to feel miserable. And so my wife says, yeah, Joshua wants to replace the bumper. I say, "I'm not letting him replace that bumper. He's going to wreck that car first." And so last night, my wife says, "You was right." I said, "Yeah." And I turn over to her. I said, "Aren't you glad that you didn't put that $1,000 in that car and buy that new bumper?" You say, "What do you mean by that?" The Father knows how to treat what's His better than the person who thinks they're driving it. See, I've been driving for 30 years. Correction, 35. He just got here. I know what I drove like when I was 19. And I want you to know, I should repent. And so you 19-year-olds go, Pastor, but you're a pastor. Oh, but I was a 19-year-old. And I drove like one. And I had my share of accidents. I had my share of fender benders. I had my share of totaled cars. Now, I bought every car, but that's okay. That's beside the point. I still came out alive, but I still had my share as a 19, 20-year-old and what have you. And young people, I'm not encouraging you to be me and go out and have accidents and tell your parents, well, Pastor did. No, don't do that. But I'm helping you to understand that the parent, the father, knows your body better than you. He made it. And if he wants to fix it, he'll fix it. If he doesn't, he will leave it the way it is. Why? Because he knows how to work whatever he's going to do out of it the way it needs to be ran. I knew that we didn't need to replace that bumper. I knew that my son, he's 19. Guess what? What is the probability that he's going to have an accident? Well, let me see. Research says that the number one cause of death among people between the ages of 16 and 24 is what? Car accidents. That was my data. That's all I needed. The Father knows these bodies. He knows what you're going to do with them. And sometimes he'll give you a little pain to keep you from doing something stupid with them. How many of you believe that? And sometimes God will give you just enough pain, just enough of a tweak where you go, man, I wish I could go do such a, man, I can't go. That's probably good. Amen. He knows what to do with the body. He'll fix it if he wants to. And there's not nothing about, healing has nothing to do with faith. Someone's going to question me and someone's going to email me. But let me tell you something. Healing has very little to do with faith. And I've got so many examples. My goodness. Well, Pastor, no, you got to have faith in order to be healed. Well, okay, let's see. Is that true? Let's see if the Bible backs that up. There was a man at the beautiful temple, sat asking alms. He couldn't walk. Looks up to Peter and John, says, I need some money. Peter and John say to him, silver and gold have I none. Such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. What did the man do? He sat there. And so Peter had to say, okay. He had to reach and pull him up. Why? Because the man didn't believe. See, if the man believed, he would have got up and walked. As happened in John chapter 5. This man didn't believe what Peter and John said to him. So Peter had to take him by the hand and say, come on up. And that's when the healing happened because he didn't have faith. There are sinners who've been healed by God and still won't go to church. And I can tell you that on a personal level, and I'm talking about cancer. God knows your body better than you do. Let him be the one who directs you as to what you should do. Having said that, I want to give you the 10 commandments of healthy living. Don't write these down because I'm going to email this sermon to everybody in the church. The 10 commandments of healthy living. Number one, thou shalt drink plenty of water daily. At least 8 glasses, for it is what the body needs to carry on with the life process of the body. Again, I'm going to email these today to everyone on the email list. Thou shalt do exercises as frequently as possible. Amen. Amen. Today I pledge I'm going to walk 25 feet today. I was wondering who knew measurements in here. Okay. Commandment number 3. Thou shalt not engage in worries, anxiety, and tension in order to prevent high blood pressure and other heart-related diseases. Look, you cannot unring a bell. You can't do it. You did something. You regret it. You know what? That's not going to fix it. Man, I wish I had enough. Don't live in that world, my friend. Don't live in the world of woulda, coulda, shoulda. That world will kill you. It will release a chemical in your body called cortisol. And you know what cortisol does? Cortisol takes really great cells and converts them into fat. And it deposits all right here. I know from personal experience. But when you feel good and you're worshiping, you're praising God, and you get what's called that spiritual high, you know what that is? That's a release of another kind of chemical. It's called an endorphin. It's called an endorphin. And you feel this great feeling of ecstasy and delight in the Lord. In fact, when people who speak in tongues and manifest spiritual gifts, they've had their brain waves monitored, and you see this release of dopamine and endorphins in that time of ecstasy and worship. When you get that promotion, when God brings you through a situation, when you just feel like all you want to do is praise God, you know what's happening? The body is in agreement with your spirit and releases that chemical. And all of a sudden, you just feel wonderful. But the opposite of it is stress and anxiety and all that. And you can work out and you can eat right and you can still not lose weight because you're living a stressful life. Are you allowing stress to get you down? You cannot do anything about it. That's why I say to people, learn to say goodbye to everything in your life but your faith and your marriage. If God gives you the grace to do so. And your family. Hold on to your faith and your family, but everything else can go. Everything else must go in some cases. Amen. Because you don't want your life to be cluttered with doubt and fear and stress and anxiety and all of this other stuff. A few weeks ago, I took every piece of clothing that I ever owned, that I no longer wear and no longer want. I put it in bags and I just got rid of it. I don't want this anymore. I'm not going to sell it. I don't want it right now. I don't want that. Why? I'm getting rid of stuff. It doesn't do me any good. But you know what? I know there are people who have no clothes. In this economy, they're hurting. Free clothes. You can have them. I think Donna has several bags of shoes for the shoe man. I don't know, probably 100 pairs of shoes. Get them out of my house. I think it's greedy to hold on to stuff you don't need. Piles and piles of baskets of clothes you have not wore in 5 and 6 years, and there are people who have none. Get rid of those clothes. Well, I bought this when I was in such and such, and it must go. Get rid of the stress and the anxiety. Learn to say goodbye to stuff that you think matters and it doesn't. Number 4, thou shalt go for proper exams and medical procedures as directed by a physician. Amen, colonoscopy. Amen, PSA exam. Amen, mammogram. Yeah. Everyone in here should know this, right? Number 5, thou shalt avoid eating excessive saturated fatty acids. I think I need prayer right now. Sugar and salt to prevent heart-related illnesses. Wow. I have officially stepped on my own feet. We got to get away from this stuff, saints. Amen? Amen. We just got to get away from it. Number 6, thou shalt take salad, vegetables, fruits, and grains with fiber as frequently as possible to promote proper hydration of the body. Let's see. Salad. Okay. Salad versus burger. Salad versus cheeseburger. Salad versus greasy cheeseburger with melted cheese and mustard and pickles and onions. Salad. I need prayer. Fruits versus chicken wings. Fiber one versus French fries with chili. And sprinkle with onion and cheese. Baptized. And all those wonderful things. 3,000 calories per serving. Nachos with cheese. Qdobas. Yeah, I know it's great, isn't it? I have my Qdoba card. You shall read good educating and entertaining texts like a Bible. It's number 7. Number 8, thou shalt not take garlic, onions, and soya products to prevent and to fight. Thou shalt but take garlic. Make sure I'm not around. Onions and soya products to prevent and to fight cancer, such as flaxseed and stuff like that. Okay? Thou shalt not interfere with time for night rest. You shall get the rest you need. Amen? I think that's very, very important. How many of you are resting, sleeping 8 hours a day? Yeah, I would love to raise my hand and be all pastoral about it, but I can't. It's a lie. I'm not, and I should. And I need to. Thou shalt maintain a good prayer life. That's number 10. And so I will send you out these 10 commandments of healthy living. But you know what? When it all boils down to it, it's really a matter of just deciding and having a plan and making a decision as to what it is you're going to do and recognizing two things. God made my body, and my body does not belong to me. It belongs to Him. Now, this is what, if there was an 11th commandment, it would be this. Thou shalt not feel guilty over your current condition. Because guilt only produces despair, and despair doesn't give you the confidence to try to do something different. As long as you feel guilty, you feel miserable, you feel bad, you can't do what you want to do. And that's why Jesus, through the word of God in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, says, if you've done something wrong, why don't you bring it to the Lord and confess it, get it out the way so you can move on with your life. You can't undo the stuff you've already done. And if you're overweight, okay, let's just receive that. I'm overweight today, but I don't have to be overweight a year from now. But look, don't try to make this a guilt trip type of situation. Guilt never produces deliverance. It never breaks a yoke. It never is used by God to make a change or a transformation in your behavior. Guilt doesn't do that. It makes you go into a deeper pit. That's all it does. Guilt does not produce nothing but more guilt. You have to say, I must get out of this pig pen and I'll go back to my father's house. That's the thing that prodigal son tells us or teaches us in Luke chapter 15. He knew he had done wrong by squandering his father's wealth, but he didn't hold on to the guilt to where he said, I should just stay here in this pig pen. No, I'm going to my father's house. You and I have to do the same thing. You have squandered your health. I have squandered my health. We've done some things we shouldn't have done. Okay, fine. But are we going to stay in that mental and spiritual state of despair and toxicity? Or are we going to get up and say, I got to do something different? I got to get up and do something different. So get up. Get up. I said get up. Stand up. Stand up. It's like, huh? Okay, make room. Make some room. Make some room. Get some room. Yeah, stretch it. Get it out. Yeah, feel good. Uh-huh. Come on. Oh, Donnie, come on. Come on, Donnie. I know you're 95. Come on, Donnie. Come on. Come on, Donnie. 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 Yeah. Okay, watch me try to keep up. I'm kind of a PBX90 guy. No, not really. Okay, you're going to take your shoulders and you're going to roll them just like that. There you go, Milt. That looks good. Just roll them. There you go, Donnie. Go for it. That's Senior Olympics right there. Roll your shoulders just like this. Come on, roll them. Roll them. Don't be disobedient. Okay. Okay. Now, okay. Okay, you can stop there. You can stop there. All right, we're going to do a couple other things. All right. I'm going to build it up just a little bit more. All right, you ready? We're going to do these push-ups, but we're going to do them inverted. So instead of getting, don't you get on my floor, you're going to do this. You're going to 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 5. 1, 2, 3, 6. 1, 2, 3, 7. 1, 2, 3, 8. 1, 2, 3, 9, 1, 2, 3, and out. All right, good. So we. Okay. Now we're going to do, wait a minute, we ain't done yet. So that's the upper body. We got to do something with the legs. We got to do something with the legs, right? Okay, we're gonna march in place. A very simple thing to do. I told you to bring your sweatsuits, not my fault. So we're going to march in place. Are you ready? Starting with the right leg, right foot. Ready? Begin. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30. Okay. Okay. You may be seated. Bet you didn't come to church to do that, did ya? Well, good. Get that blood going, get the heart pumping a little bit, a little circulation. If you eat too much, obviously you need to cut down on your portions. I'm not a dietitian, so I'm not going to give you a diet that you need to practice, but you should eat less and exercise more. You don't have to have White Castles every week. I think as a non-dietitian, I'm safe to give that piece of advice. But let me talk about other things, toxic chemicals as well. Stop smoking. Stop drinking. Stop doing drugs. And if you don't do drugs, don't ever do drugs. Don't poison your mind with that stuff. There's this push to legalize marijuana as if marijuana is safe. And I love the logic. Well, they've legalized tobacco and beer. Hey, those are poisons too. You know, let's legalize a poison because we've legalized two other poisons. Don't fill your minds with that stuff. The other thing is risky behavior. And I'm not talking about bungee jumping. No, right. I'm not talking about, bungee jumping. My wife is trying to get me to the end of the sermon, so I'm going to preach another 15 minutes. not bungee jumping, but it's something that's worse than that. And I'm talking about relationships. Talking about STDs, I'm talking about pregnancy, I'm talking about consequences that come from not making healthy choices in relationships. Listen, I'm nobody's mama, but I could tell you this, that I've seen far too many young people wreck their lives, older people as well, regrettably, doing things they have no business doing. As I go to Mexico, I've just been given my marching orders. I've been asked from a pastor near Acapulco to come and do a youth retreat / marriage conference, 5 days. And he's invited me down into his home to go there in a place called Ayutla. And a lot of Americans, they go to Mexico, but they don't come back the same as when they went. A lot of people make choices with these bodies that God has given. And listen, it only takes one bad choice to have a lifetime of misery. You don't want to make those choices. You don't want to do something that is so risky that it will cause you a lifetime of regret. You have to think before you act. Because God made that body. It belongs to Him. And you don't have the right to do with that body whatever you want to do, whatever you're big and bad enough to do. The property, the body is God's property. It's on loan to you. It's not even a gift. It is on loan to you. You're going to give it back. Yes, you will. You're going to give it back to its rightful owner. But you're expected by God to treat it with the respect that he deserves because he's the owner. Amen. You're expected to do that. You say, well, Pastor, what do I do with this message? Well, number one, the best thing you can do with this message is act on it. The best thing that you can do with this message is act on it. Look at your behavior. Look at your way of thinking. Look at what it is that drives you to do certain things. Look at the kind of foods that you eat. Look at your stress level. Look at your blood pressure to see if it's high. We got five people in here who could check your blood pressure on any given Sunday. I know because they've checked mine. I could ask a member of this church, hey, I need you to bring in your blood pressure kit and come in my office and check my blood pressure. They could do it right then and there. So there's no reason why you shouldn't be able to get your blood pressure checked. We got four or five people in this church who could do that right here, right now. They can also check your blood sugar because they've checked mine right here in this church. You've got to begin to think and act in a way that will prolong your life and this body. Why? Because you are valuable to God, so valuable that he paid for your soul with the blood of his son. Why would you want to throw your body away, your life away, on some trip, on some person, on some situation that doesn't have the ability to give you the joy that only God can give? Don't do that. And a lot of kids go to college and they come back home with something that they didn't take to college. Hate to put it that way, but you get my message. Don't be one of those students. And listen, it doesn't mean that if you do everything right, all good is going to come to you. But I guarantee you this, don't shoot yourself in the foot. You've got enough problems. Enough stuff is going to happen in your life that's going to cause you to rethink things. You're going to go through negative situations while you are trying to do what's right. But don't ever be the person that looks back on their life and say, you know what? I could have been here. I ended up here because I did something stupid when I was here. Don't be that person. Don't stop the blessings and the flow of goodness that God wants to bring into your life by doing something you know in your heart to be counter to his will. May God give you the grace to do so. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your message. We need to do more. We need to do better, including myself. Lord, I cannot say that I am the example of fine health and proper dieting. I am not. I am the last person who should be doing an infomercial of any kind. No, I need to change my behavior. But I'm not alone. I have other members of this family who also desire to do the same thing. But Lord, we also know this, that feeling guilty and bad is not the answer to transformation. It is recognizing that there is a better life for us if we're willing to make the decision to pursue that life. Give us the courage and the grace to do so, Lord. Help us to say no to all of the stuff that we want to eat that we should not eat, to the toxic chemicals that we put in our body. Help us to leave them, break that yoke of addiction or whatever it is. If there's a behavioral problem, whether it's gambling or some other sin or pornography or something that's going on in hearts and lives here, Lord, help them to see, Father, that this can do nothing but produce more and more guilt, more and more sin. Lord, we want to be free. Not just free from the really immoral, desperate, evil stuff. We want to be free from eating too much. We want to be free from being couch potatoes. We want to be free from the lazy sins, so that we can prolong these bodies and show you how much we love you for them, and so that you can be glorified through them. Thank you, Father, for your mercy and your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Give God a hand praise.